I was thinking about the fact that, you know, if we weren't able to be at church, weren't able to come together, then we wouldn't be encouraged by seeing other believers in Christ standing together for the Lord. And we need that. We need that encouragement. I just pray that you'll be blessed today and continue to be blessed as we look to the Lord. Have a little bit of a different format this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Father, you know each person here. You know each heart. You know each circumstance. I pray, Father, as I was praying earlier, that you would allow us to have the blessing of seeing you meet with us. I pray that you minister to each heart, and I pray that you will just refresh us. I pray, Father, that you would put a joy on our heart in the midst of everything, whatever it might be. And I ask, Father, that we know that from you, that that is a gift from you, that's your grace, and it's your mercy, and it's your intervention working on our own personal behalf as you touch our heart, as you calm our spirit, or as you lift us up, or just, in a sense, put your arms around us and let us feel your loving presence. And I just thank you, Father, for those things that you do for us, because those are things that we do experience as we walk with Jesus, your Son. And I pray that you help us to acknowledge you and praise you and love you more and more. Bless your word, Father, as we look at it this morning. And may everybody this morning just walk away with a sense of blessing and refreshment and tuned focus, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I just want to look at some things that God has said to us. So a lot of us, these things are going to be a little redundant. But God's word should never be redundant. God's word is always quick and powerful, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's there to reach our hearts. Jesus repeated himself a lot of times because he wanted to re-emphasize the word of God. So I want to look at some things today that might help us. You know, we're living in a time period today that, whether it be today itself or whether it be the future as we think about what's ahead, that's daunting for us. We see the spiritual warfare, we see the rivalry, the problems that we see in society, we see political issues. We can just all of a sudden start feeling ourselves getting weighted down by looking at everything else. And I really believe that that's Satan's trick. Satan's trick is to allow us to become suppressed in our walk with Christ because of everything that we see that's dark. And God doesn't want us to walk in darkness. God doesn't want us to walk in a state of oppression. God wants us to walk in victory and in power and with clarity and with purpose. And so I want to look at some things that God has said. First of all, God said, live by faith and not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, live by faith and not by sight. That's so simple for us, but yet we need to remember that every day, with each day that we have, each challenge that we face, that living by faith is a choice of action, that we choose to believe God. We choose to believe that God is working good. We choose to believe that God has a plan and purpose. We choose to believe that God is involved in our own personal life, doing his work, his way, on our behalf for his glory. So we choose to rely on God. We can say that, for we walk by faith, that we choose to believe in, rely on, depend on, and hold on to the hope of the promise that God has given us in his word. And we have the assurance through faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved. We already know that we are his, and that what the Father has put in the hands of Jesus, no man will pluck out. So God's called us in these times that seem so unraveled and so daunting and so oppressive to remember that we're to walk by faith because we're God's children. As God's children, we're to be a pillar of faith, a pillar of strength, a pillar of light, a pillar of salt, an opportunity that people will see Christ in us, especially in these dark times. And so we're to live by faith and not by sight. And there's the thing that Jesus is trying to point out to us, that Satan wants to bring our sight to focus on all the negativity, all the things that are dragging us down, all the uncertainties of the future, all this type of stuff. And as we focus on that, we find ourselves becoming oppressed. I watch the news too much. I think about, you know, okay, politically, what's going to happen in the future. I think about the threat against the church. I think about all these different things. I find myself getting angry and frustrated and irritated and overwhelmed. And then I find myself in a spiritual state of oppression. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. So what we have to be careful what we set our sights on. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, you know, don't focus on these things, but instead focus on your faith in God and walk with God in faith. So live by faith and not by sight. God also said, do not worry about tomorrow. That's easy said, not easy done, right? But through Christ Jesus, God would never tell us to do anything that he would not expect us to be able to do in and through him. We can't do it by ourselves, but do not worry about tomorrow, right? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You ever have that time or that sense, that feeling that, man, it's so overwhelming that what we need to do is say, today's the day that God's given me. Today's the day that I'm to walk by faith and not by sight. Today's the day that I'm going to rest on and rely on the arms of my Savior to carry me through whatever challenge that I have for today. And that in this day, there's enough stuff to deal with that requires us to be faithful to him to carry us through those things. And so we find ourselves being called of God to live by faith and not by sight, and not to worry about tomorrow. But boy, it's easy to worry about tomorrow in this time. I think about my grandchildren. I think about the future of what they have or what they might not have. Or I think about all the junk, all the stuff. And that's exactly where we're getting my sight and focus is getting off of my faith in God and on focusing on all the stuff that will drag me down. But we have enough to worry about today. And some days are harder than others, but God will carry us through as we walk by faith, as we rely on him, depend upon him, because he's our Savior. He's there to be the strength that we need, the encouragement that we need to carry us through the challenge just for today. If we get through today and tonight we pray before the Lord and we go to sleep, say, Lord, thank you. You carried me through today. And some days are easy and some days aren't, but thank the Lord for that. Another thing that God said is that he's working for good. You see this. You know, God said he is working for good. Sometimes we don't see the good that God is working. Sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. Sometimes, frankly, we just don't agree with what God is doing. But we have to remember, and I've used this illustration before, that in God's panoramic view, and even in that state, that's kind of a limited perspective, but in God's view, he sees everything that he's doing and every little piece of the puzzle is being put in its place. But if you and I look at those individual pieces, sometimes we have no clue what that piece represents. But God will take the pieces and he's putting them in place always to bring something for good. God is working not only in your life and my life, not only in the world that we live in, not only throughout all the ages and everything. God is putting it all together to bring him glory in the end. And so we can praise God for that. But I want to look at Psalm 16:11. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now I want to think about that for a minute. God is working in our life. And so as we walk by faith, not by sight, if we just, God help me through today and whatever challenges I have today, and then as we rely on him, God will show us the path for today. God will show us his purpose and his path for us today. He will give us grace to handle whatever challenge there is. And he'll also reveal to us that he's right there with us to rely on. We know that here, but you know what I'm saying? When we recognize the Holy Spirit and the presence of God holding us up, when we didn't ask for it, but we see him holding us up by faith. And so here, show us that this is the path of life, that as you rely on me, as you rest in me, as you find grace and strength and comfort in me, then that's a reality of the life of God living in us. And so you will show me the path of life. And it says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. You know, we go through hard times, but when we're in the presence of God, we find joy. When we're in his presence, when we bow down before him, or when our focus is strictly on him, when we know that he's hearing us, and we know that he is paying close attention to us, we sense his presence with us, there's a joy. And when I talk about that presence, I'm talking about that when we realize our living God, our Savior, who lives in our heart, reveals himself to us with comfort and with grace and with power and might, and most of all, his love, focused just on us, we find a place of joy in him. Everything else has a way of dissipating when we're in the very presence of God. And I can't help but think about Moses before God on Mount Sinai. And, you know, God told him, take your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground. That's not just restricted to Moses. Whenever we take the time to focus on God with a heart that's open before him, and we're just focusing with him, everything else dissipates, and we are on holy ground in the presence of God. And it's in that place that we find joy, the fullness of joy, because God is our God and he is our Savior. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when you look at this, as we walk by faith and we're living as he would have us to do each day, and we're in his presence, we find the fullness of joy, and we also see him working in a way that develops our life, that brings pleasure to him, and that brings pleasure to us as well. Now in John 15, 9 through 11, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Go back to the first one, verse 9. Thank you. So as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. That's part of walking by faith, is abiding in God's love, knowing that our relationship with God and how rich it is and how personal it is, that we abide in his love, that we are in him, experiencing him and his love. Go on to 10, please. And so as we live for the Lord, we're following his commandments. Commandments aren't a bad thing. Commandments are there to help us to live life, new life in him. And so as we follow him and are living for him by faith, what happens is that we fill him up with joy. It says, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So when Jesus pleased the Father because Jesus loved the Father and did what the Father called him to do. When you and I love the Father, love Jesus, and are doing what he wants us to do, it fills his heart up with joy. Let's go to the last verse. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. There's no circumstance in that. And what I mean by that is that the daunting realities of the world that we live in and the challenges that we're facing in life, no matter how difficult they are, that we know that God's purpose is that in him that we will find our joy being made full. Our joy is made full in Christ. So when we're feeling oppressed by the world around us, or we're feeling overwhelmed by life circumstances, and we feel it closing in on us and that type of a thing, and we feel compressed down and squashed down, that's not what God wants. God wants us to know the fullness of his joy, even in the midst of whatever challenges lay ahead of us. And the only way that we have that is by putting our faith in God, trusting God. Now, I'm not talking about a blanket faith. I'm talking about holding the hand of Jesus moment by moment as you need to, day by day, believing in him, trusting in him, relying on him. God also said, be the children of the light. You know, the world doesn't have Jesus like you and I do. We're a minority in our culture and in the world around us. The world needs to see more of Jesus. We know that. We've heard it for how many decades within the church? But right now, if it's daunting for us when we see the rivalry, or we see the oppression, and we see all the uncertainties of the future and the ugliness of the world that we live in, if we have to make a conscious decision to have faith in God to help us to stand up and joy in Christ during those challenges, think about people in the world that don't know Jesus, that have no grace to help them to stand. And so God has called us to be children of the light. We're to represent him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And what resonates with me in that verse is that when we allow ourselves to become so oppressed and overwhelmed with our circumstances and our life in a negative way, that is like throwing a cover over a light. God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to live to where, you know, in the midst of all the heartache, we're relying on God in faith, trusting in him, depending upon him, and no matter what's going on, that oppression will not snuff our light in Christ. Christ is all in our heart, who'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know that. But if we are called, and we are called to be children of light, we are children of light, and we're called to be children of light. It's a statement of fact that when we receive Christ as our Savior, that the light of Christ comes and lives in our hearts. So we are the children of light, but we're called to take action and be that light in the world. So if people see us going through the troubles that we go through, but they see that joy, that fullness of joy, then it's not fabricated. It's not something that we just put a fake front on and try to be joyous or that type of thing. It's because of our own genuine heart, humbly positioning ourselves before the presence of Jesus, holding on to him with all that we have, knowing his presence and work in our life that moves our spirit, that causes us to find peace and comfort and a joy that our Savior and our Lord loves us so much, and he's right there carrying us. And when we have that assurance and that reminder, it begins to resonate, and it reflects like a light in our life. And people see that, and they go, how come you have that? And of course, the answer is simple, isn't it? Because as I rely on Jesus, Jesus is my comfort, my strength, my encouragement, and I know the warmth of his love and his presence with me. And no matter what's going on, I've got him, and I can follow him, and I can be the person God has called me to be. So we're called to be children of the light. God also said, give hope. We're to give hope to people. You know, we're not supposed to be just Christians that are doing their own thing, and we have our own hope and our own belief, but we're to be people that are actively sharing hope with others. People need hope. We see it on TV, trying to be positive and give hope, and trying to shift the focus from the oppressive darkness and all that's going on to a point of refreshment. People need a word of hope. But, you know, the world can give us a false sense of hope, a little boost of refreshment, if you will, through something pleasant and nice and lovely and that type of thing. But believers in Christ can give hope that does not fade away. Believers in Christ can give hope that says, look, this hope is not something that we hope will happen. This hope is in the promise that God has given us, and God keeps his promises. And so as we hope and rely on the promises of God, we have that assurance, but many people don't. In Colossians 1:26 and 27, it says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. It'll explain itself in a minute. To them God willed to make known that we are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now what was being talked about there was that the church age, that the Holy Spirit being sent to live and dwell in the hearts of every believer in Christ was a mystery that was hidden in the Old Testament. The Old Testament doesn't point to the church age at all. But the church age is a body of believers that have the Holy Spirit that's come in their heart because we believe in Jesus as our Savior, and we know the gospel, that he died and that he wrote that for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead, that he's alive today. We've asked him to forgive us of our sins and come live in our hearts. That was a mystery because the Holy Spirit was sent and comes and indwells us. But it says, to them God willed to make known. God's will to those that receive him was to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What are the riches of the glory of the mystery that God has called you and I to make known to others? It goes along with what I've been saying in this passage, in this message, that as we share the reality of Jesus as being real, as we share the reality of our own real personal relationship with Jesus, as we share the comfort we find from God, the grace and strength and courage that we find from God, the love and mercy that we experience in Him when we're not even looking for it, when we begin to experience being in His presence because our heart has yielded to Him and we know His presence and all that He is, or learning more and more about Him, then we learn, as we learn about Him, we can share this mystery with the Gentiles. We can share the mystery with the world that says, I know Jesus. And some of the world will look at you and say, you're off your rocker. You're a nut. Or God spoke to me, or God said this, and they say, who do you think you are that you can say that? Well, I can say it because you can too as believers, because the Holy Spirit lives in our heart, because He speaks to us through His word. And we know what God has said, and we can say, God said this, and I've experienced this in my relationship with God. And whatever we experience in Christ will never contradict the word of God. And so God is telling us something very important here. He's saying, "In as believers in Christ, our mission is to share the mystery of the wonder of a living relationship with Jesus through faith in Him who lives in our heart with those that don't know Jesus." That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to share our personal relationship. He wants us to share our own experiences with Jesus with other people, because in this world, people don't have lasting hope. They can have a temporary hope, a temporary boost of encouragement, a temporary boost of light, if you will, but it's not an everlasting light. And so, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. God's will for you and I is to make it known to the lost, in particular, the wonder and the beauty and the magnificence of Jesus Christ, whom we know and who lives in our hearts, that they might have hope, and that God might be glorified. In Hebrews 10:23 through 25, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Now, hey, go back. So, as I said in the beginning of this message, each one of us, seeing each one of us in this church at this time, in this place, to worship God and to be fed by His word, is a confession of our hope. We're confessing to each other, hey, we're believers, we know that, but we're believers that are on board. We're believers that are seeking the will of God. We're believers that want to build up and encourage each other to hold on to your faith, to walk by faith and not by sight, to be the men and women and people that God has called us to be as children of light in the world that we live in. And so let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let's not waver on telling people what we believe, but let's be bold about it. For He who promised is faithful. What God has promised us, God will never, ever break a promise. And we have that security in Him. Also, we can go on. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Go back. Okay, so we're to stir each other up in love and good works. I'm hoping and I'm praying that even through this simple message outline, that you are being encouraged to be more in love with Jesus and to love each other more, that you're being encouraged to do the good works that God has called you to do in Him and for His glory. When Tim was working with the Unite Citizens of Klinga, that passing out the bags of materials for the homeless, you know, that was an act that was collective, but it brought glory to God. It's doing what God has called us to do, and in whatever format, whether it be collectively through the churches or independently or in our own personal life, whatever, God calls us to do something, do what He calls us to do. He's created us for good works. Why? Because those good works are an act of love and kindness that reflect Jesus, that might open up the door of the mystery of what it means to have a true relationship with God that will never go away, that is everlasting, and the promises of eternal life that we have with him. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Think of it this way. If the doors of this church and every church in our community, or even wherever in our country, were closed permanently, and we weren't able to come together and worship, what negative effect would that have on the body of Christ? We need to be assembled together to fellowship. And there may come a time, and I'm not saying that it'll necessarily be in our lifetime or not, but we know around the world where there are underground churches where believers that say we can't meet in the church building, but we can meet somewhere, we'll figure it out. Because we have to be there to encourage each other in love and in good works and to bond together for the work of God. God also said, love all people because he does. It's so easy for us to look at people that are offensive to us and not love them. It's so easy to look at religious background or evil intent or all these things that we might see in individual people and their own perspectives on life that cause us to repel and to have a disdain for them. I have a disdain for people that want to tear down the church. I have a disdain for tearing down America. These types of things are very offensive to me. And yet at the same time, the people that might be behind that are encouraging those types of thoughts, I have to be humble and remember, God created that person. God loves that person. God died for that person. God wants that person to know Jesus as their Savior. And God wants us to love all people because God loves all people. It says in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we want to see the life and character of Christ in our hearts, it is reflected by his love working in and through our lives. What did Jesus say? He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, that's a reflection of God's character and his love. And as believers in Christ and having a relationship with God, the one thing that we need to remember is that the times that we've been the most offensive to God in our actions, God never stopped loving us. And those that we find most offensive to us, remember God has not stopped loving them. And as believers in Christ, we're to love them. Now, how do we do that? It might be just as simple as saying, I'm going to pray for that person. They may not know me. They may have no clue about me. We see them on TV, whatever the case, but we're going to lift them up in prayer that maybe the Lord will work in their life in such a way that they're come to know Jesus as their Savior. God said he did not give us a spirit of fear. I love that verse in 2 Timothy 1:7. We're not called to have a spirit of fear. And that oppressiveness that we live in the world that we're facing today, there is an element of fear because of the uncertainty and the threat to the things that we value so much. But God has called us to be children of light, not to be people of fear. We're not to walk in this world with a sense of trembling fear because of what's going on. Because to do that is to say, I'm not trusting God. To do that is not relying on my God to take care of things his way and for his glory. And so he did not give us a spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What are we wrestling with in our lives? Could we be wrestling with fear because of the unknown of tomorrow? Are we wrestling with a sense of being overwhelmed and weakened in our stand to be able to face life? Are we wrestling with a genuine love? Are we wrestling with the anxiety that causes us not to have a sound mind? Those type of things, that's the attack of the enemy. That's the attack of Satan. We're God's people. We're children of light. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in his power, and his love and to have a sound mind. And when people can see in us that, wow, they're so strong in their faith, wow, they're so kind to all people, their clarity of thinking is solid, they're not confused and anxious, what is that a testament to? It's a testament to the very character and person of God in their hearts, in your heart and my heart, as we yield ourselves to God. And people will see that, and God will be glorified by it. Finally, God said, remember that of faith, hope, and love, love is the greatest. Let me read that in verses 11 through 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Stop right there. So as a believer in Christ, we're babes in Christ. We have to start somewhere. But as we grow in Christ, we begin to see things from a different perspective. As we grow in Christ, we begin to speak in ways that we know that are mature and right in the eyes of God. As we grow in the Lord, our focus shifts to a perspective that God wants us to have instead of our own selfish perspective. We've yielded and transferred our focus onto God's perspective in life so that we can have the right mindset and be the people that God has called us to be. And we learn to put away the childish things of selfishness and self-centeredness and put on the love of Christ, put on our faith, put on the courage and the power that God wants us to have in him. Let's go to the next verse. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. We only see spiritual truth like looking in a mirror. We don't see it clearly now. One day we're going to see it absolutely clearly. And I love the part, for I know in part now, but then I shall know just as I also am known. When we're in heaven, everything's going to be made absolutely clear. It won't be clouded. It won't be shaded. It will be absolutely revealed in all its entirety and clarity. And we'll be known just as we are known. It says, now I know in part, the spiritual things in part. But then, when God does his work and completes that work in us, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I see all these things and I know it, just as I know how real and true I am as an individual. You get what I'm saying? When we're in heaven, we're going to say, it's me. I'm here. And God has revealed all this to me that I didn't get before. It's plain as day, it's clear as it is, and it's as real as can be because I'm here. Praise God for that reality. So, in verse 13, and now abides faith. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, right? Our hope, which is the promise that God has given us, which he'll never, ever break. That's eternal life and in him and all the things that he equips us with to be his people. So now abides faith, hope, and love, right? These three, but the greatest of these is love. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in the Christian faith that love, the importance of love seems to be somewhat taken for granted or watered down at times? And you know why I think that happens is because I believe Satan knows that the greatest is love. You know, Solomon learned that without love, that everything's in vain. If it's not done in love for God's glory, it's empty, it's useless, it's worthless. So if Satan can convince us to kind of water down the value of loving people, loving each other, loving God, then he's winning and drawing us away from the fullness of life that God has for us. So God said, live by faith and not by sight. He said, do not worry about tomorrow. He said, he is working for good. We'll see it as God reveals it to us. God said, be children of the light. God said, give hope. God said, love all people because he does. God said he did not give us a spirit of fear. God said, remember that of faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest. So I want to close today with a video song by Dolly Parton. And it was just, I watched a special the other night, and it just blessed my heart so much. I hope it blesses you. So thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would just encourage each of us. But more than that, Father, may we walk out of here refreshed by your Spirit, encouraged to be that light and that a standard, if you will, in our culture that reflects the very relationship of you in our lives, that will give encouragement and hope to those that don't know you. And use us, Father, boldly to share Christ with people. We know that's a commission, but Father, make it much more of a reality. May we each see and discover that you've put situations in front of us that you give us grace to pursue, that we're actually begin to see ourselves sharing the gospel more, and maybe even having the wonderful privilege of leading people to Jesus as their Savior. Just pray that you honor this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Even though we're walking through the valley of death, scared and wondering what happens next, uncertainty, division, anger, and unrest, I still believe. Questions of what and why and when, what is it, why it happened, and when will it end? These are strange and crazy times that we're living in, but I still believe.
You hear our pleas, we come to you on bended knee.
Through the valley of death, I will fear.